You're listening to The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI, Public Radio International, in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Radio Boston.
When Robert Edwards first developed in vitro fertilization in the 1970s, the groundbreaking medical process was met with a lot of protests, not just from the church, but from a number of people all over the world. They saw it as a sin. They saw it as meddling with God's way. Today, though, the practice is pretty commonplace. 4 million children have been born through IVF, and yet questions still remain about the safety and ethics, not to mention the business that's flourished from the expensive procedure. Joining us now is Glenn Cohen. He's co-director of the Petrie Flom Center for Health Law Policy and assistant professor of law at Harvard Law School. Good morning, Glenn.
Good morning.
First of all, we've certainly come a long way. There was so much controversy when in vitro fertilization was first developed. And yet, here we are talking about Robert Edwards winning the Nobel Prize in Medicine. That represents quite a leap, doesn't it?
Absolutely. And, you know, in 2006, there were about 93,000 IVF cycles in the United States using fresh, that's non-donor eggs. That's a huge population.
And even if you look at it just from the business side of in vitro fertilization, it's pretty big business. How expensive is IVF, and is it a lucrative field of medicine?
Oh, it's very lucrative. Recent estimates suggest that an IVF cycle will cost you about $12,400, and you're looking at about between $66,000 and $112,000 per live birth, according to recent estimates. The range is very large because it depends on things like the age of the mother.
Okay, so it is lucrative. Is that encouraging people to offer up IVF to people? Is that like incentivizing this practice?
I mean, obviously, there are some conflicts of interest between to the extent you're being paid by the service, and we can talk about insurance in a moment, to the extent that people are paying out of pocket as well, and this is a very deeply held hope of the individuals to have a genetically related child. There is certainly a conflict of interest and an incentive on the part of clinicians to offer IVF repeatedly when it fails. Now, obviously, there are clinical practice guidelines, and these are doctors, and they have ethical codes. But if you're talking about designing a system, this is going to look ripe with conflicts of interest.
I mean, but at some point, does a doctor say, this hasn't worked for you, don't try again?
Well, part of the problem has to do with why it doesn't work. So sometimes we're talking about independent probabilities, right, where it's like a little bit like flipping a coin. It's not the case of the fact that it hasn't worked before me and it won't work again. That said, in some cases, the reason why it hasn't worked is such that there is a reduced probability every successive time. And really, there is a sort of a gambler's fallacy among IVF users sometimes that, I lost this time. It's going to be my winning number next. And there's been documentation about this among IVF users.
All right. Well, Glenn Cohen, you're an expert in health law policy, so you can tell me if I'm kind of venturing into ridiculous territory here, but it seems to me like as the process of IVF has become more commonplace, the controversy hasn't gone away, it's just changed. In other words, I see that now we have controversies over two main things connected with IVF. One is that it's being used by women so they can have children at a much older age, doctors say can be risky for both the mother and the child. And also it enters into the stem cell debate to a certain extent as well. So let's talk first about IVF and it being used by women to have children into their 40s.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that would seem to be a point of controversy.
I mean, it is a point of controversy, although another way of conceiving it is a little bit like the pill, in that it's also been a huge source of women's liberation. I'm trained as a lawyer, and I know many of my colleagues have been able to change their work-life balance by banking on the ability to use in vitro fertilization to have children later in life. So I think it's also had widespread changes, both positive and negative, for the work-life balance of women in America, especially this is a subset of women who can afford access to in vitro fertilization, which, as I've said, is incredibly expensive. But there's no doubt that it's changed the dynamic of parenting. There are the question of health risks of having pregnancy later in life, but there's also a real difference in how a 40- or 50-year-old woman parents as compared to how a 25- or 35-year-old woman does.
All right, and the other place where it enters into sort of a controversial debate is the fact that in vitro fertilization is part of our stem cell debate, and the reason is because the discarded embryos are part of the argument over whether or not this material should be thrown away, whether it's not as ethical to use it in medical research, right?
That's absolutely right. In 2003, there were about 400,000 frozen embryos in America that were being held. You know, on the other hand, you can look at this as a source of discarded embryos as helping us to avoid more difficult ethical questions. So, for example, compare using an embryo that's made in good faith for in vitro fertilization doesn't end up getting used for a myriad of reasons, including success. They tend to fertilize more embryos than they need at the front end because of cost reasons and freeze them, as opposed to trying to drive stem cells by taking someone's egg, taking someone's sperm, and basically creating a new life just to destroy it in the stem cell derivation process. There's a sense in which the existence of the IVF industry and the storehouse of frozen embryos actually helps us avoid what I think are some of the more difficult ethical questions about creating stem cells ab initio.
All right. Well, Glenn Cohen, co-director of the Petrie-Fulome Center for Health Law Policy and assistant professor of law at Harvard Law School. Let me ask you the same question I asked our guest yesterday. Robert Edwards got the Nobel Prize in Medicine for developing in vitro fertilization. Was it deserved?
Absolutely.
Okay, Glenn Cohen, thanks so much for joining us. We want to put this question out to our listeners as well. Do you have a personal take on IVF? The controversy surrounding it has become acceptable to you maybe where it wasn't before. What do you think? Head over to our site, weigh in, and also read up on John Hockenberry's own personal experience with IVF. That's all at thetakeaway.org.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing. Or
politics.
Country music.
Hockey.
Sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.